Everyone knows Bob Marley, but I want to talk about Ziggy Marley today. Ziggy's big claim to fame, his big hit, had a chorus in it, which is, "Don't know your past, don't know your future." Anyone recognize that song?
No.
Don't make me sing it. Canner, come up and sing it. You probably don't even know Ziggy Marley.
I know Ziggy Marley well, like this, but I don't know that song.
Don't know. You have as much hair as he does. Yes, yeah.
It says the same thing.
The sermon will sound like that too. So we'll get back to Ziggy and that connection. There's this amazing piece of history in this week's Torah portion that is so complicated and rich, and that speaks of Moshe's amazing wisdom. It illustrates the difficulty of building a society and how to negotiate differences. There's so much packed into it that it's almost a Rorschach test for our own time and the challenges. And so what is this story? Just to place it again, the Israelites are in the steppes of Moab, and they're about to return to the land from which, through conditions of history and slavery, they've been removed for a long time. The entire national project is about to recommence as the Jews return to their land. And as they do so, and they're staying in this sort of trans-Jordan, 2.5 tribes, Reuven and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, are looking at the land there. And if you recall from a time in Egypt, there were a bunch of Jews who were cattle ranchers. They tended flocks and sheep. And the land in the trans-Jordan was remarkable, remarkable grassland for flocks to feed on. And as a consequence, they told Moses, you know, we're not going to go into the land. It's really nice here. We can make a nice living. You guys go ahead. We're just going to stay here with our cattle. And Moses is furious. And unlike maybe Pacific Northwest nice, he says something. And he says, hold on a second. You guys are risking the entire national project. He says it slightly differently. He says, do you remember when the scouts went into the land and there were a number of people who thought that we could not enter and return to our land, and almost the entire nation was discouraged, and as a result of it, everyone from the Exodus generation who left Egypt has to die in the wilderness to get rid of that sort of mentality. And there are only two groups, Caleb and Yefunah, who actually still believed. And Moses is reminding them of their history so that it shouldn't repeat, in the words of Ziggy Marley. And they hear his rebuke, they listen to it, and they respond in this remarkable way. They say, okay, Moses, we get what you're saying. We're not going to be the reason that this nation and its project ends. We'll send our shock troops in, but we'll leave our kids here where they'll be in safety. And then after the conquest is done, we'll return to this side. And Moses hears and listens and agrees. And it is this incredibly potent moment, because there is a way in which we say, like George Santayana and Ziggy Marley, that if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat it. And there's a way sometimes when societies and people and relationships and businesses look at their past history that they get frozen, because they think that they see in the present moment exactly what was. Or they know, you know, we tried this and we failed terribly. Let's not fail again. And you have other people who don't know the history, who just, let's repeat what we did. We don't know. It'll work this time. And it's not easy. Because, right, we don't have crystal balls. And we don't know exactly whether something will work. And we don't know whether we'll fail. But the way I think that we need to negotiate those sorts of very real issues in the life of a nation, in the life of a relationship, is to peer carefully and to listen and to say the truth that you own and know, as Moses did to Reuven and Gad and Menashe, and then also be willing to hear somebody else's truth, and to make those adjustments, that flexibility that you need so you can respond to the novelty of the present even as you're aware of your past. And I got to tell you, I mean, whether, you know, I tend not to get political, and I'm not getting political here, but I'm going to mention the politics of America at the moment, because we're at this very interesting moment where one part of the American voice is saying there are socialist answers to problems of inequality in our country, and another side of the equation has said that failed. And what I would love to have in my nation is a conversation that would be as rich and as deep and as respectful as Moses had with those tribes, where the voice of the past can have a say, but where it is mitigated by a look of where things are, an explanation of what might be done differently. And we, as a nation, and in our relationships again and again, miss that. That's our age. But it's also why we turn to Torah. We go back to the past to teach us how to live in the present. And this is such a beautiful example of Moshe's leadership and the tremendous wisdom of how to help negotiate the different needs and interests of all the groups who make up the great project, whether that project is the Jewish people or in our country of America, that city still waiting to be reached, shining on the hill. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.